Welcome to the Mostly Pod Out at Night. Mostly, I'm Graveyard, joined by my co-host Salem.
Hello.
This is episode 112 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. World War II, the last great war, and the content that just keeps giving. This week, we are exploring some films that take place during that war with some various point of views. I think we have American, German, and Russian in all three of these.
Soviet. Come on.
Soviet. Yeah. And of course, some supernatural creatures mixed in for flavors. So grab your M1, your Compound B, and your Lucky Strikes and join us for some stories 80 years in the making. That's right. We are covering The Keep from 1983, which we were struggling to find a place in a list somewhere for this movie just to watch it. But we also have paired with it Overlord from 2018. And Burial from 2022. I know for me, I had seen two of these movies before this episode. I know you've seen two of them, probably not the same two.
No, I saw Overlord and Burial before this. I never watched The Keep. The Keep was, it's been on my list for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I had never seen Burial, but Overlord, yeah, I think I feel like we both saw it as soon as it was available in 2018. So, but without further ado, let's get into The Keep from 1983, which, if you think of a guy who plays a German soldier from the 80s till now, you're thinking the right guy in this movie.
Pretty much.
Right. Das Boot. He was the German guy in Beerfest. But essentially, we are in 1941, so, you know, not that long into the war.
Well, interesting enough, not far enough into the war for the U.S. to be in Europe.
Right.
So, U.S. couldn't be there even if they wanted to.
Yeah. And this, like I said, this is kind of just from the point of view of the German army, as they're, you know, trying to hold up and take towns across Europe. They're, I believe, in Romania, and they are trying to just it is the keep, essentially, right? And it's
yeah, in it's the just Carpathian, like an old timey castle, yeah,
Carpathian mountains, and they kind of go in. You know, the German soldiers go in there. And they see there's, well, they call them crosses. They're not really crosses, but everywhere as they're trying to.
Capital T's.
They are very much capital T's.
There's a whole lot of capital T's around.
Yeah. So essentially, as they're kind of stringing up lights, then like they have the village that's there and the priest is like, yeah, don't touch those. Whatever you do, don't touch those. Like, okay, cool. Yeah,
don't touch those. And by the way, they're made of nickel.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, they're not worth anything. Just don't mess with them.
Right. Which is not true. But.
Well.
Yeah. So, of course, two soldiers, like, after they set up their lights, start building their encampment, like, hey, we should take this and, like, pull it open. And it's just, like, a giant hole opens on the other side.
Well, to clarify, the one guy stabs the T with a knife, and it like gives way a little bit, like silver does.
Yeah.
So he goes, "Oh, the rest of these might be nickel, but this one's silver." So he pulls it as like he bends up the ends, and then he tries to pull it out, and he ends up pulling out a big block, and then it creates this big hole, and he sees another T at the end.
Yeah.
He's like, "Ooh, I'm gonna go get that silver too," and then like.
He goes on a rope, essentially.
Right, yeah, he falls into, like, a giant cavern.
Yeah, and lo and behold, let's just spoil it. Now they release an ancient entity. I don't know what else to call it. I don't know what it really officially is.
Masters of the Universe villain.
I mean, Masters of the Universe live-action movie villain.
Yes, that's what I mean, yes.
For anyone who's just, yeah, because it's not the Masters of the Universe, you know, TV show. This is, like, a schlocky 80s creature.
And he does not skip neck day.
No, he's
his he's neck is neck. Like twice the size of his body.
Yeah. And so essentially they're like, oh, and then, you know, fog kind of starts pouring out, and like five soldiers are just like killed by the fog. Like, oh, great. You know, so we're meeting kind of the general, I don't know what his official title is. And then we meet a guy who doesn't really wear his swastika uniform. He's like, maybe we shouldn't be doing this, guys. Maybe we should be good Germans.
Those are just the Wehrmacht.
Okay.
The guys that were there were just regular German soldiers.
Not the black coat Germans.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the Wehrmacht, I mean, they may or may not be like Nazis, but they're not like ultra, you know what I mean? They're not the practiced Nazis, you know, they're not the like the tested true Nazis. Yeah. Yeah.
They're like what the uniforms that you'd see in like all occult things dealing with Nazis, like the Red Skull from Captain America.
Well, yeah, they're the SS. The SS is the elite Nazi soldiers who are, they're more concerned about their loyalty and their fanaticism than they are their actual ability to fight.
Yes. Yeah.
But they're still considered the ultra elite force simply because they're like super Nazis.
Right. And they're the ones that, like I said, generally deal with occult type shit. While the other guy is just like, you know what? I earn my medal by fighting for the country, not just talking about it.
Not killing civilians, which is another thing.
Because the SS and this go like, oh, five of our guys died, so we're going to take some hostages and kill them. And anytime one of our guys dies, we'll kill five hostages per person you kill.
Yeah. Led by Gabriel Byrne, funny enough.
Yeah.
with negative sideburns.
He has. It's almost like the Crispin Glover haircut from like.
Yeah, it's like the sideburns are so missing that they're actually like higher up than like the whole hairline is up like a half an inch higher than it should be.
Yeah.
Negative sideburns.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, they kind of find out what's going on here. They see the priest, like, what is this? Like, oh, that's an old language that no one could speak. Well, there is someone that could speak it. Where is he? Where did you put the Jews? And then we get to a horribly aged Ian McKellen.
Yeah. Again, at first when I saw it, I was like, was this guy ever young?
Right. Because he's only like 45 or 44, I believe. But like, he looks old, but like Tales from the Crypt style old, not good old. I'm like, God, poor Ian McKellen. So anyway, he's like this doctor who's able to read this language and brings his daughter, who's also in the camp. And of course, you know, a woman comes into the German camp and, well, unwanted sexual advances are made.
There's a lot of sexual assault, sir.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, she is kind of saved by the entity, Neckman, if you will.
Well, he's Smoke Monster at this time.
That's true.
He doesn't actually have a form. He's just like, he looks like a smoking, like, coal. Imagine like a coal fire in the shape of a being with a ton of smoke coming out of it. That's what it is.
Yeah. Mountain face.
Yeah.
So kind of, anyway, while this is going on there, the doctor is kind of like, oh, you saved my daughter. Let me, you know, let's do this. And they're trying to get to remove like talisman. Like, I'm trapped in here. You gotta get me out. And then he de-ages Ian McKellen to his rightful age, who still looks pretty old for 44. We're kind of doing all this stuff, and the villagers are going a little stir crazy with this smoke kind of being released, even kind of, I'd say, attacking them. A point.
Well, yeah, you got to say why he agrees to this partnership. Is the he basically says like, oh, you know, thanks for saving my daughter, and he's like, okay, well, now you have to let me out of here, and if you do, I'll give you your youth and your strength back. And he's like, well, that's not good enough. Like, you're killing people. Like, why would I ever let you out of here?
Yeah.
And he basically says, well, you know, when I was giving you back all your energy, I kind of saw that you're a Jew. And I know, you know, like, and he kind of infers that that's his people too. And that he wants to take revenge on Hitler for all the horrible things he's done to the Jews. So he's like, okay.
Yeah.
So he agrees to help him get out because he agrees to go kill Hitler as soon as he gets out.
Right, right. And he gets Ian McKellen the ability to walk, who is in the wheelchair, who barely uses the opportunity to walk again, I would say. He's still being pushed around. I think
at first, because he was still trying to hide it from everybody else.
Yeah. But, you know, his daughter sees him. It's like, oh, you look so young. And then, like, the next guy sees him, like, hey, what's up? Nothing's changed about you. I'm like, it's quite visible. He's changed. But well, I guess they don't see it.
They're dudes. They're soldiers. They've seen stranger things.
Meanwhile, I almost wanted to call it Discount Lance Hendrickson, also known as Scott Glenn.
He's Stick.
I know he's Stick, yes. But he looked like a bad day Lance Hendrickson in this movie.
Yeah, there was similar roles. It was either one or the other.
Yeah. So anyway, he kind of like wakes up and has like this energy about him. And then I don't know what he's even nationality he's supposed to be. I can't tell.
He's in Greece, but who knows what he is. He's a alien ghost, or I don't know what the fuck he is.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden he has purple eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, just seems very much like he would be a Lance Hendrickson type thing. Essentially he makes his way to the camp. He's like, yeah, he's essentially almost there to stop it in a way, but not, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that ensues to the point where, you know, we're about an hour and 15 minutes into this movie and like all of a sudden, yeah, now shit started to hit the fan after they retrieved the talisman for the creature for it to be able to get out. And the head SS guy trying to run around and see what's going on here, but all his men are essentially like flame broiled at this point.
Well, you forgot the best part.
Oh, when he falls down the cliff.
Well, no, that before that part is he shows up in town, and the day after the poor woman is sexually assaulted.
Oh, they bone.
They bone. For she doesn't even know this guy. She was literally sexually assaulted the day before, and she's like, "Oh yeah, let's do this. Let's get down."
Yes, multi-position boning scene ensues.
They even do the Jesus Christ pose, I guess. I don't know what was happening there, but
that's how they finish. That's how they finish. He kind of strangled her a little bit and then lay her into the uppercase T.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what was happening there.
I don't know.
Yeah, and then they come in right afterwards and they're like, "Hey, you're new in this town. Let's go get you interrogated." And then, like, you know, of course he fights and then he gets shot and he starts, like, squirting out predator blood.
It's very much predator blood.
He falls in the moat.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, oh, shit, he's dead. But no, don't worry. Don't worry. So anyway, yeah, the monster's trying to, like, attacking people. The head SS guy's like, shit, I'm going to kill this other guy who's not really a true German in my eyes. You know, kills him. And he's trying to escape, but like the mountain neck creature, you know, destroyed all the vehicles essentially too. So anyway, they're trying to like remove talisman still, but like I think the daughter realizes that you shouldn't be doing that.
Well, yeah, because the dude told her that he was there to stop to keep the thing in the keep.
Yeah.
And that the thing in there is bad. So she knows that, but she also knows that shady stuff was going on because her dad was healed and he wouldn't exactly tell her how or why.
Right.
So she knew that stuff was going on. And then, yeah, when she sees that he's like now trying to sneak this talisman out of the building, she's like, yeah, you shouldn't do that. Like, this is not what you should be doing.
Right. And they're fine. You know, Ian McKellen's moving bricks and trying to stop all this stuff, get the talisman too. But essentially, I think his daughter is, you know, I think the doctor's commanded to kill his daughter, his own daughter, right? He refuses, so he's like, all right, boom, you're old again. And then, you know, Stick comes and they have this kind of fight where he has this magical glow rod and shoots lightning at him, essentially.
When he does his transformation into like the being that's going to fight, you know, like Discount Skeletor, like his neck gets big too. So whoever the effects guy was thinks that all the strength comes from the neck, apparently.
Yes.
It's like that's the only makeup he got. Is like his eyes glue and then his neck got bigger. That was
Boom. Ancient forces battling. Right. Neck man. So anyway, their hatred gets kind of put back into the keep and sealed back up, and the villagers like, hey, cool, everything's fine, we're back to normal, yay. Oh, you're still old. End of movie.
Yeah.
I skipped a lot just because I didn't find this movie very good, but I'd seen this before and I couldn't tell you when I last saw this movie. It's probably the 90s. But on the, like I said, it is, I remembered some parts of it. I especially remember the main German guy from Das Boot. Like, he's hard to miss and not remember. I didn't remember much of anything else about this movie, but it's always on, I feel like, a lot of top lists of like obscure World War II movies.
Well, yeah.
That most people don't talk about, but like, I feel like everyone knows the poster of it, because it literally just says like the keep, and it's like a citadel essentially. But it's a interesting foray to kind of almost look like, what if Indiana Jones, but Masters of the Universe?
Well, without Indiana Jones,
right?
And right. Internal German politics.
Yeah, but it felt like it had that almost cheesy quality of like a Nazi goofs in Indiana Jones that George Lucas did. But like I said, neck versus neck. It's like I said, it's an interesting movie, not one that I watch obviously often. But this is your first time seeing it, correct?
Yes.
So what were your first thoughts on it?
It was all right. It was interesting. There's a lot of things that I liked about it that I thought were different and, you know, like slightly, you know, off center of wherever, you know, where other movies were being made in 1983 and where this movie came out. It was like a lot different than that for sure. It's interesting that it's a film starring Germany, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it also has Germany as the villain, mm-hmm. you know, so it's like internal German politics. It's one of the very few movies, especially in the 80s, that showed that Germany wasn't all Nazis in World War II. They don't start really thinking that far ahead until like the 2000s, you know, get to like right. Valkyrie or something like that before you start understanding that like there's a lot of people in Germany that did not want Hitler to keep being in power. And this is interesting that it's in 83 and they're already showing that. Like, you know, like literally the SS guy kills him because he's like openly plotting against him. Like, you know, you and your crazy Nazi bullshit is making this worse. Like, we need to get the hell out of here. And he literally just kills him because he's that.
Yeah. But, yeah, because he even pointed out, it's like, I'm not the one killing civilians.
Right. Yeah. Again, it's an interesting take, especially for the time period. Under what's going on. The supernatural stuff is interesting too, I guess. But I was more interested in the politics of what was happening there.
Right. And I'd say, you know, most movies about Germany, especially when there's supernatural stuff, especially when you see the black coat SS, like everyone, like, fears them because fucking insane.
Because they're the enforcement arm of the Nazi party, essentially.
Yeah.
And the Nazi party, as we all know, hates a lot of different kinds of people. I mean, Jews, of course, being number one, but there's a lot of other people on that list, and they were rounding them all up, you know, and it was anybody that they didn't like. You know,
yep.
Get rounded up. And then even if you were in the category of, you know, people that are okay, like if you're not a Nazi, you still get treated like shit.
Yep.
Like that's what the fucking Gestapo was. Gestapo was like the police that were left behind in their conquered towns that were literally just beating the shit out of the people that weren't even doing anything else. I mean, they're not good.
Yeah. You either with them and they like you, or you're against them and they don't like you. Doesn't matter what you are. You could be, right. You could be German, with just living in a different country. Well, you weren't in Germany. You weren't signed with them. So you're just garbage as well.
Exactly. Yeah, it was like you're either all in the Nazi party or you're against them. That's yep. Any kind of fascist group, that's how they are. Either they're with us or against us.
Oh, yeah. So, all right. I will go first for my highlights. Obviously, like I said, we discussed, told as the Nazi side, right? There's not Americans in this movie, which is interesting.
From the German side.
Yeah. Well, the German side. But you know what I mean. It's not, it's an American-made movie that doesn't have American soldiers in it. And I just found that very interesting. I don't think there's very many like that, even to this day.
No, I was trying to think, you know, well, I know of another one that stars the Soviet Army, but that I couldn't think of any other ones that have the German. I'm sure there is. I'm just not thinking of it.
Yeah. I, you know, as much as I made fun of him for looking like Lance Henriksen, I like Stick. I think he is great in this. He played that cheesy 80s role pretty good. I'm always fascinated by occult stuff, and I was very fascinated about Nazi occult stuff and like what they were actually trying to research and stuff like that. That some of that stuff you read about is like fucking insane. You know, and this just happens to be like an occult situation they went into, not purposely looking for it. You know what I mean? Essentially, this happened because they just occupying a town in Romania and two guys got greedy. So they stumbled onto this NECA demon, I guess. But yeah, just the fascination that some of the troops had for the occult, I find fascinating to read about. And this movie showed a side of that in a way. And overall, this movie is weird as fuck. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of weird parts to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a product of its time for sure. I don't think it'd ever be good for a remake. It'd be interesting to see a remake, but you know, now that we have better CGI and glowing eye effects, I guess. Those are my highlights. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I really like the whole German thing, you know, where there's like there's two different sides to the Germany, you know what I mean? There's just mm-hmm. your standard everyday Wehrmacht soldier, and then there's like the SS, and like this is 1941, and you can still see the difference, right? I mean, like soldiers just doing what he's told, but you know they're not going to murder civilians on somebody's word. That's not what they do, but right. The SS will. That's their purpose. And it was just interesting seeing that internal struggle. You know, and eventually, you know, I mean, they didn't even team up against the bad guy at the end. They just literally imploded and killed each other.
Yep.
But yeah, like it's Stick and Ian McKellen is like, were they ever young?
No.
It's like, dear God, we're in 83 and they still look old. This is like, how far back do we have to go before they look young?
Well, I mean, he at this point in time, they're both a couple years older than me and a couple years younger than you currently. And they look way much older. Older than we do, I feel.
Right. I thought Gabriel Byrne did a great job as the SS officer. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, satisfying. You hated him, and that's what you're supposed to do.
Oh yeah.
I did the effects of the smoke monster. I thought were interestingly done. There's bad and there's good there. I'll talk about the bad when we get to that point. But the actual smoke monster, the smoke effect that they did for like the monster part of it. Where it was like constantly flowing around mm-hmm. like the rock part of him. I thought that was done very well for 83, for sure. That part of it was great. I mean, when he becomes like the monster, yeah, that's a whole nother story. When it was the smoke part of it, I thought that was pretty good. And I did like the historical references that they talked about, where they were like specifically talking about Spain, and they're talking about the Spanish Civil War, which is a lot of people say is the beginning of World War II. You know, because the fascists won, but the country was so screwed up that they could not even join World War II, which is, you know, a weird kind of thing that, you know, Spain, literally right next to France, was mm-hmm. not part of World War II at all. But that's why, because they had a big, they had like an agreement with Hitler because they were also fascist, but they literally had no military because they literally just got out of a civil war where almost all their people died.
Fought each other. Yeah.
Right. But there was a lot of people from all around the world that were joining the anti-fascist part of that to try to stop that from happening. I mean, most famously, like George Orwell, the writer, he was there. But anyway, in this movie, they were talking. The German guy would have said that I would have been on the anti-fascist side. But he's like, unfortunately, I was already had been drafted into the military at that point.
Right. We would have been. He said we would have been allies.
Right. They would have been. Yeah. They would have fought on the same side. But again, he was already drafted into the military, so he couldn't do anything. But again, showing that there's people in Germany that are not Nazis. Again, just interesting enough. And they also talked about, you know, the camps. They also mentioned Dachau by name, which is interesting. It's pretty heavy for a 1983 horror movie.
Well,
yeah. But that's all I got for high points.
A bunch of low points.
Okay, low points is there's a lot of bad effects in this movie. The light effects were terrible. I mean, obviously, this is 83, but I think they were bad for even 83 standards. They were pretty terrible. The ragdoll, when the explosion happened, and like the guy's body was like obviously just like a stuffed mannequin flopping around the room. They like, you know, if it's just a scene to like show the force of the blast or whatever, that's fine. No, they showed it like rolling around for like a good like 5 seconds. It's like, yeah, this is obviously a fake person, why do you keep focusing on it? And then the smoke that was not connected to the smoke monster looked terrible.
Yes.
But the smoke monster part of it I thought looked good. Smoke in general, not good. Obviously the SS, nobody likes the SS. They're bad. Sexual assault, not great. Boning the day after sexual assault, also not great. Like, I get you're like some kind of like hypnotizing alien dude, but like, come on, man, you can like read her mind and see that she's probably not gonna be into it right now. And then of course, literally, the guy looks like a He-Man villain. Like,
yes,
no joke, his neck is huge, his chest is like gargantuan, and his legs and arms are like toothpicks. Like, he has this giant head, giant neck, giant chest, and then everything else is normal human sized.
Yeah, it was
very bizarre looking. And of course, he didn't really like talk. He didn't move his mouth. He just kind of like opened his mouth, and there was a red light that came out. And then when he's done talking, his mouth just closed. His mouth was not flapping with the words. It just like opened, emitted sound, closed.
Well, the light would pulsate, trying to emulate like lips moving, but it was not in sync with anything.
No, it was pretty bad.
Yeah,
That's all I got. What do you got?
Obviously, you know, rape, Nazis, bad stuff. I also have the creature's legs, just awful. like they talk about how young the doctor looked, but I'm just like, no, he doesn't. I mean, he looks younger, like a layer of makeup's been removed, but holy shit, he still looks like Magneto 20 years later. He looks exactly the same, I feel.
Right.
Ian McKellen, which means he hit his stride. Good for him. I hit mine. I know what I'm looking like the rest of my life. So it's all right. But yeah, like I said, the creature is just. That was almost like it. Think of like the shape of Pizza the Hut from Spaceballs, but mountain formed. That's what the creature reminded me of as well. And I understand, like, the doctor wanted to keep his ability to walk a secret, but I don't know why. He could have just been like, hey, I can walk now, but I don't know. That was a pretty different thing to do. Like, hey, I got my youth back. Guess I can walk now. Guess I should try it. But that's what I got. All right. So our number this week is bolt action rifles. So how many bolt action rifles out of 10 do you give this movie?
I like this movie. I mean, there's a lot of bad, like the effects are bad, like the actual, like, I think like monster, you know, when they're like confronting the monster is probably not the best part of the movie, but like the internal struggle of Germany, like really, I really did like that part. And that's the majority of the movie. I mean, it's like 75% of the movie is that. And then we get Stick fighting, you know, Skeletor at the end for whatever bizarre reason. But overall, I would like this. I like this movie. So I'm going to give it a 6. 6 bolt action rifles out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is something that is just under the radar for some of the reasons we talked about, or it's just that the 80s had so many other things, like Nazis, other than Indiana Jones, weren't really a thing. This was like the era of slasher, so this probably just went under everyone's radar for maybe multiple reasons. But I mean, it's good. It's not a I'm going to rewatch this every year good, or every 10 years good, but I'll agree. I will go ahead and give this 6 bolt action rifles out of 10. So, all right, next up we have Overlord from 2018, aka what Wolfenstein movie should look like. Take it away, yeah. Salem.
Pretty much. All right, so Overlord, obviously named for Operation Overlord, which was the overarching name of the whole Allied invasion of Normandy. Mm-hmm. And that's what the movie opens up with. It literally opens up with the 101st Airborne flying into, you know, over the coast and into France. You know, waiting in the plane, we get the whole kind of, if you've seen a World War II movie that has paratroopers in it, you've seen this scene before. You know, they're sitting in the plane, they're all just kind of talking, all of a sudden, boom, 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 anti-aircraft starts happening, planes start exploding, everything, you know, goes crazy, people fall out of the plane and get scattered on the ground. I've seen a lot of movies, and they all start out the exact same way. Any movie in World War II with paratroopers starts off the exact same way. And that's fair, because that's what happened. That, like, they literally got scattered everywhere, and there was, like, they couldn't find where the hell they were, or what they were supposed to do. Miracle, any of this shit happened. But.
Oh, that's very true. If it was Vietnam, they'd be helicopters. Right. Same stories there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But this one, it's like, yeah, same thing. They all get scattered. So essentially, the survivors that we get are Hooded Justice from the Watchmen HBO show, if you watch that. He's like the private guy. We get U.S. Agent.
Johnny Mayonnaise himself.
U.S. Agent Kurt Russell's son is like the kind of, like, you know, somber, tough guy. We get the mouthy, you know, New York guy.
Hey, yo, I'm walking here.
Right. And we get the the kind of lanky, shy Jewish kid doesn't show up until a little bit later, but we get him. And then who else do we get?
We get the photographer.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, the photographer. Yeah. The photographer, who is Fitz from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., if you've ever seen that. And then funny enough, Grey Worm from Game of Thrones also survives. He plays like a fucking Texan in this movie, like a mm-hmm. Southern yokel. He is the first to go. He steps on a landmine.
Well, he was too busy writing for his mom's cookbook.
right, but yeah, he dies immediately. I was like, oh, that's Grey Worm. Boom. Oh, he was Grey Worm. Got it. Okay, so that's basically who our survivors are at this point. So they get to a what they're supposed to do. Their mission is they're supposed to take down this like radio tower. And this radio tower is, like, not only, you know, relaying stuff for the Germans in land, but it's also, like, jamming the radio transmissions from, you know, the Allied people. So whatever is going on, they're not going to be able to get air support unless they take this thing down. So that's mm-hmm. their mission. So instead of having, like, the whole platoon to do the mission, they'll literally have, like, 4 dudes.
Yep.
They, as they're making their way to the French town that this antenna is in, they meet up with a French girl who, you know, kind of tries to run away from them, but eventually kind of becomes their ally and leads them to her house where she lives with her aunt and her little brother. We see that the aunt is very sick and looks like a zombie, but we don't really get more information at this point.
Sure, we hear.
Yeah, we hear like the horrible sounds. Like, oh, she's sick. Like, that's an animal. Like, that is not. It's not somebody snoring. That's an animal.
You have a dying cow inside your hands.
Right. Like, something's very wrong in there. So anyway, so we see like her interacting with the kind of local German officer. At first, he kind of like, you know, they accost her on the street and they let her go. And then he comes over to the house and it seems like he's got kind of an agreement with her of kind of like, you know, like
put out and I won't take your family.
Right. Yeah, it's exactly. It's like sexual favors and return you get, you know, to live and your little brother doesn't get killed either. Right. So it's. That seems to be bad. So, essentially, that goes on. You know, Hood of Justice can't really take that. So he, after the other soldiers leave, he basically goes down and, you know, puts a gun to the officer's head and stops him from assaulting his French girlfriend, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they basically start torturing him, the officer, to try to find out. What's going on in the building?
Yeah.
I should get ahead of myself here. Anyway, so two of them go off to go find out if anybody else made it to the rendezvous, right? Kurt Russell's son, U.S. agent, he stays back to like make the bombs, and then Hood of Justice has to go. So Hood of Justice goes out on patrol. And he gets caught up somehow. He ends up in a truck with dead bodies, and the truck goes into the base, you know, the secret base that they thought was just an antenna, which turns out to be a whole Nazi lab in there.
Under a church, yeah.
Under a church, right. So he basically sees this lab. He sees all the kinds of horrible shit happening in there. Essentially, it looks like they're reanimating dead bodies with this, like, magic serum that turns them into, like, murder machines.
And giant burlap sacks.
Right. Yeah. So like, yeah, they're doing all kinds of horrible things to dead bodies. And, you know, he sees, of course, Nazi scientists, you know, doing bad things to people. And he finds the shy Jewish kid in there and he rescues it. So they end up making it out. They escape, they get back. And then that's when, they interrogate the officer because they have the syringe that he stole
mm-hmm.
from the lab with him. So basically they torture him. You know, they get kind of leave the room. We don't see all the torture. We see him beating at him for a while, but we don't see all the torture. And then they basically a U.S. agent comes back in after torturing him. And he's like, yeah, you know, they're doing all kinds of stuff, you know, with, you know, in there, he won't tell us what's going on. Supposedly he doesn't know, but, you know, we can go in there and shut it all down. So they make the plan. They're going to go in there and blow up the not only the antenna, but also the lab because it's bad. Right.
Yeah.
So they tell Fitz to go up and get the officer because they're going to move him and try to use him as bait to lure a bunch of the people away from the base.
Mm-hmm.
He goes up there and, you know, Fitz being the kind of, you know, clumsy one, he gets killed. Essentially, he gets, you know, strangled and then shot by the officer guy, who does die. Now, Hood of Justice, who had seen people be reanimated with this syringe, injects him with the syringe to like bring him back. And that's when we see he does come back and he is fine. He seems to be healing and doing much better. But then he like gets really hot and super violent.
Yeah.
And he starts like going like nuts and like, you know, veins popping out of his head and his arms and
bones popping out of his neck. Yeah. Yeah.
His neck like snaps backwards and it's like all kinds of bad stuff going on. So he starts like trying to murder everyone in the room, friend and foe.
Mm-hmm.
And so they eventually they shoot him in the head and kill him. They shoot him a bunch of times and he falls down and gets back up and they shoot him in the head. Or no, actually, Hood of Justice bashes his head. And,
a few times.
Yeah. To stop him, to kill him. So they realize, okay, this stuff is super bad. It's not bringing people back in a good way. It's bringing people back as like, you know, super violent killer stuff. Right. So yeah, the officer guy goes, yeah, it's, you know, 1,000-year soldiers for the 1,000-year Reich. You know, so they're basically, you know, when the soldiers die in war, they're just going to inject them with this stuff and make them fight again.
Whatever the French town was sleeping on this entire time. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't really explain it, but it's apparently some kind of goo that is underneath this city that does this, but it has to be like properly refined first.
Yep.
Is what the guy said, whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they decide, yeah, we need to destroy this whole thing because this is not good. You know, like they basically realize that not only should the Germans not have this, but we shouldn't have it either, because this is not going to be good for anybody. No. So we're just going to destroy this whole thing, and we're just going to tell everybody that this shit never happens. So they basically go into a big fight. So the Jewish kid and the mouthy New Yorker are going to play kind of distracting, you know, machine gun up
and
top.
And sniper, yeah.
Right. While they go, everybody else goes into the keep. Well, I should say the officer guy escapes by kidnapping the little brother.
Yep.
So the French girl goes in with them, of course, to save the little brother. Now, on his way out with saving the little brother, he gets shot a lot and he gets very injured to the point of near death. So he gets
half his cheek ripped off. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He's not doing good. So when he gets to the doctor, he literally takes the stuff and injects it into him. And there's like, oh, we've never done it on a living person. We don't know what happens. And so he kind of sort of heals up, but we don't really see what happens after that. So then, you know, everybody, of course, you know, they do the big distraction thing. They break into the lab. They set all the explosives up. Of course, you know, officer guy comes up and basically beats U.S. agent to death, essentially. You know, it takes the timer out of the bomb, beats him to death. While Hood of Justice and the French girl, they find the little brother, and then they have to fight the Nazi doctor guy. So they go through all that kind of stuff. Anyway, U.S. agent is fighting the officer. Everybody gets involved in that fight. They basically all lose. U.S. agent essentially gets hung up on a meat hook and mm-hmm. is dying. And then he injects himself with the stuff so that he can, like, fight the guy himself. So he fights him and knocks him into, like, the well where the evil goo is coming from, but not before injecting a whole bunch of other dead bodies with the stuff. So they basically set up the bomb, and then U.S. agent has to stay behind. He's like I have this stuff, I can't leave here.
Yeah, no one can have this.
Right. Like no one can have this, I can't leave here. Like, you know, this is, you gotta blow up the whole thing. He's like, there's no timer in the other one, so you have to go and set that bomb up, and you know, so you have to get the antenna ready so that the, you know, the invasion can happen, but you also have to, you know, blow up this whole lab with me in it so that, you know, everybody can survive. So they do that and everybody dies. Well, U.S. agent dies. The New York guy got shot, but he's okay. And everybody else is relatively okay. And then, you know, at the end, there's like the officer guy debriefing Hood of Justice going, was there anything down there that we should look for? He's like, nope.
Okay.
Movie over.
Yes. So why don't you go, I mean, rewatch and first thoughts on this movie.
I watched it when it came out. So I guess it was 2018. Five, 6 years ago? Yeah, I liked it a lot. Of course, I watched it because it was like, you know, a horror movie set during World War II. So, of course, I watched it like as soon as I could. And it was good. It was fun. I mean, it's more war. Like the first half of the movie is more like a war movie.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't get into like the horror elements until the second half. So it's kind of like two movies put together.
There's vague hints with the aunt that something's amiss.
Right. But like that doesn't really make sense with the rest of it.
No.
Because like the ant would be violent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. Maybe they had different strains of it or something. I don't know.
She's probably like the first round of experiments that survived.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, it's basically like, yeah, it plays as like a you know, kind of like a Dirty Dozen kind of movie. You know, where they have like a mission and it's a bunch of misfits like trying to get the mission completed, and really it doesn't start the horror part of it until they like get in the Nazi lab, which is I would probably like more than halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
So that's why I say like it's the first half is like a war, like an action war drama movie, and then the second half is like a horror action. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I remember being excited just because it, you know, it is produced by Bad Robot. And it just, like I said, like, this looks like a Wolfenstein, but with zombies. which Wolfenstein eventually has, obviously, as well. But yeah, I thought it was a really well put together movie that was just interesting. It's like Resident Evil meets World War II. In a way, you can almost think like that's a Nemesis program or the T virus that they were injecting to create the monstrosities that they had.
Right.
But no, I mean, it's a very well produced movie as a whole. Like, I wouldn't be mad if there was a second one, quite honestly.
Not at all. I mean, I'm kind of surprised there hasn't been.
I'm pretty sure there was talks of it, but who knows? Then COVID happened, probably when
I was going to say, like, the sequel probably would have hit when COVID happened. So, yeah, that's probably why.
Yeah. Do you want to start with your highlights?
Sure. I really like the paratrooper info. I mean, they probably spent a lot of money on that scene. I mean, because it's like a typical war movie, like, you know, explosions, the plane is on fire, like, people are falling out of the sky, like, planes are exploding all around them. Like, it's a very effects heavy intro that has nothing to do with horror at all. It's like there's a lot of money and effort put into that intro, and it's just interesting that it's this movie that they put it in. But I thought it was great. It was fantastic. It was like just any other war movie. Like I said, it's like the first half of this is just a war movie. But it was great. I thought it was fantastic. I mean, the tension and buildup, the movie does a great job with the pacing, you know. It's like, basically, I mean, because you're starting out, like, you're on the plane. That's when the movie starts.
Yep.
You get that little intro of, like, the guys talking to each other, and as soon as you hear the rumbles and the explosions, like, it doesn't stop. it's a ride the whole time. Like, there's always something going on. There's no, like, pauses. There's no, like, you know, sex scenes or like relaxing scenes. Like, no, it's like it's a roller coaster the whole time. Like, things are going the whole time. There's no breaks. I mean, the experiments were, like, genuinely disturbing. Like, there was a lot of messed up stuff down there. There was, like, the head that was just like the head and the spine, like, in a vice that was, like, saying, asking, like, help for me. Help. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, the weird goofy shit that little Jewish kid was hooked up to. Like, what the hell was that? The
giant ass needle that was sticking 3 feet out of there.
Yeah, it's like, what is going on? I mean, yeah, it's like there's people in, like, bags, like, you know, with, like, tubes, like, sucking, like, fluids out of them and stuff. It was, like, genuinely disturbing. Like, that was done very, very well.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I mean, the effects with all that stuff, it was great. I mean, the blood and the gore and the monster effects and all of it, it was, like, fantastic. It did a great job. But yeah, and again, I did like that they, you know, it's like a war and a horror movie mixed together, which is not a very common mix.
No.
That's all I got.
Yeah, I said this would have been the for me, perfect Wolfenstein movie. I think when we were first introduced, like, the trailers and the concept is that I think we thought Overlord was just like a placeholder title that was going to be announced as a Wolfenstein, right? I think from everyone was able to gleam it, it'd be like, this is Wolfenstein. It's just going to be fantastic. It wasn't, but it's still right there with it. I agree. The special effects, the gore effects, everything just felt dirty and gross in that lab. I think it was done really well. Especially when the you know, photographer's neck just, like, bends backwards. Also, he has, like, bones sticking out of his neck. It just stays there. You know, with the SS guy essentially, you know, having his face torn open, but just then, you know, his face is like the poster for Overlord. Everything on it was done fantastically. I thought Wyatt Russell really killed it in this movie. I think he's, you know, movies like this is kind of what really put him on the map for me as a actor that can do action and horror. So I appreciate that. I like the fact that they never say what this goo is. Just some liquid underneath some French colony or town that they don't even seem to use. That's, like, in a church. What is it? who the fuck knows? You know?
Yeah, we get one throwaway line from the doctor guy saying, like, oh, they had this underneath them the whole time and they had no idea what it could do.
Yep, that's it.
That's it. That's all we get.
Yeah. And it's just like and that is tying into the occult stuff that was being done, or that, you know, like I said, we probably don't fully know all the shit they're trying to do. We never will. You know, all the experimentation. And you always hear the rumors and stuff like that, that they were trying to, you know, create the perfect soldier that could never die.
So this sure almost, they were. I mean,
seems in the realm of possibility of being the thing they were trying to do.
Right. I mean, yeah, they had like weird, goofy breeding programs and, you know, like super soldier programs and shit. I have no doubts that they were trying drugs and all kinds of shit, anything that they could.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's what's weird is like, you can look at this movie like, oh, this is over the top. I mean, the end result, yeah, but like the idea behind it, very true, you know? Like, it's just that crazy. And plausible. Well, I mean, true as in you can see it happening.
Correct. Plausible.
Yeah. So I do appreciate all of that for it. I'll roll into my low points. Obviously, Nazis. Now,
I did not see that one coming.
And the thing that bothers me about this movie is, they are picky when the burned in subtitles would come on, right? And not everything gets, you know, just to understand it, not everything gets a subtitle in this movie. Like most of the German, no subtitles.
Right. Yeah. Some of the French you do, some of the French you don't. It's like, I think if they just wanted you to know more about what was happening in the scene, they let you know, they let you in on it. But like if it like, you know, kind of leads to more tension, not knowing what they're saying, then they just don't.
And it's to me, that's weird because, okay, yeah, we have American soldiers, we have French and we have Germans, but they're all speaking English, except sometimes not. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're going to do that, you can say, we talk about this a lot, that you have a first couple scenes with people, like they're speaking the language and it just translates to English. So we know what the fuck they're saying. And it's just sporadic picking and choosing. So who knows? Maybe this was spoiled if you knew German or French, just like, you know, John Carpenter's The Thing was spoiled if you knew Swedish, right?
Norwegian,
you know, so maybe that wasn't the thing. I don't know. That just annoys the crap out of me. I'm sick of the stereotype of the mouth with the gum. That's always a soldier somewhere, right?
The mouth. Yeah.
That soldier characteristic's always there. And I just find that character annoying as a whole. It's so overdone at this point in time. You know, you always have that in every war movie. It doesn't matter what war it is. If it's after 1900, you have, you know, the merc with the mouth that likes to chew gum. So, I don't appreciate that. And of course, the kid kind of just like being not a great kid to sneak around stuff. He's like, oh, look, I'm going to climb precariously behind these crates that are almost falling over.
As a child.
I know, but you think you'd know better at that point in time.
Well, you'd think you'd know that children are terrible. I know the children are terrible. You have some.
Yeah, but like, he fucked things up for them. And how many people do you think were left in that town? That house?
I don't know. That bunch of them came out of their houses at the end. There was at least 10.
But it just didn't seem like there was that much. There wasn't that big of a town for all those experiments to have happened. So,
well, the truck that was bringing in dead bodies, those were dead soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they were just shipping in the dead soldiers of soldiers that had died around there.
So, but they're using the townspeople as the first phase to then implement.
Well, I think they were using whatever they could get.
Yeah.
So yeah, they were using townspeople. They were also using people that were going to the camps. They were also using dead soldiers. They were using whatever they could get.
Yeah.
So again, we had a truck full of dead bodies getting trucked in. So I'm sure other people from other places were getting trucked in too.
It's possible. And the poor, it was it, the guy on the planes, like, you know, that came out of the cockpit all cocky. And then he's like, oh, you guys got any, well, he asked for gum or smoke. And then just get killed. He's in, I can't remember what he's in, but that seemed like a waste of his character, though.
Joaquin Woodbine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, every like movie that has people dying, you always have a bigger ish actor that dies first, that, because then you're like, oh, it's fair game. Everybody's dying.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's what you do. It's like Vin Diesel in Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
He's the first one to go.
Yep. But that's all. Oh, I guess, you know, the sexual assault again, obviously.
Yeah.
So, that's all I got. What are your low points?
Yeah, of course, sexual assault, Nazis, not good. Now I will say the end credit song in this movie is fucking horrible. It doesn't fit the movie at all. Like, I know some movies, like, even if they're like older period pieces, they'll still put like contemporary music in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking weird. And sometimes it's done and it doesn't bother me this much. Sometimes it's just fucking stupid. And this one is like the whole rest of the movie, there's no contemporary music. There's nothing. And then all of a sudden it's like the very end of the movie. And all of a sudden we go into this like stupid rap. It's like, what the fuck is this? You know, it's just like very, very out of place hip hop. And it's like, this does not belong here. I don't understand why this is here. It's just very jarring. Yeah, it's at the end of the movie, but it's still upsetting. I didn't like it. The guns in this movie are way too fucking accurate. Like, the dude has an MG42, right? And he fires at a group of like 10 fucking Nazis and he kills all 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, brrrr, they're 10 dead guys. Like, there's no fucking way. But yeah, like every gun like hits unerringly in this movie. Like every shot, like every time somebody shoots, even like if they're blind firing, they always kill somebody.
You know, like the spray and pray method.
Yeah, it was just that, like, works, wow, everybody time. Is just super accurate in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I agree with you that there's a lot of characters in this movie that are just kind of like cliche, cheesy characters from other movies that they just threw in here because it's a war movie. You know, like you have the veteran who doesn't talk, right? Who's like, you know, very grim and very hard to get to know. I mean, that's the character that's in like every fucking war movie.
Yeah.
Like you said, the mouthy city boy. every fucking war movie has that. There's always like, you know, the fucking hillbilly.
Yeah.
Who's just dumb as shit. I mean, it's like they had all of the cliche characters. And if it's a World War II, there's always got to be a Jewish guy. I mean, I understand why. I'm just saying, like, there's always one there. And they always try to make them as stereotypically Jewish as they can so that you know. Yeah, it's like there's all those cliche characters. But I don't think it doesn't really take away from it, but it is annoying. And it's like, yeah, we'll make a war movie. Let's, like, just, you know, take the war movie notes, like generic war movie notes, and just put them in there. That's all I got.
All right. So I'll go first for number of bolt action rifles out of 10 on this one. I mean, I really enjoy this movie. It is a good watch, and I've watched it numerous times since this come out. So I will give this 8.5 bolt action rifles out of 10. What about you?
Yeah, I was fluctuating between like 8 and 9. I really liked it, but I was like, they had it at a 9, and I was like, I don't know, some of these cheesy characters kind of take away from it a little bit. So I knocked it down to an 8. Still a very good movie. Still very much worth rewatching. But so yeah, 8 bolt action rifles out of 10.
All right, so last up, we have Burial from 2022. We were going to do another movie, as we said last week, but we just couldn't find it, like, at all.
Yeah, we're going to do Bunker, because I know there's a lot of Bunker or The Bunker movies out there. Mm-hmm. It's the one from 2001, the one that the actual World War II, but yeah, it's just no copies of it out there. No. We could have bought like a physical copy, you know, obviously, but no, it's not streaming anywhere. So, yeah, yep. we skipped that and we moved it to Burial, which might be controversial, probably not, but a lot of people don't consider it to be horror. Depending on where you go, sometimes it's labeled as horror, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's labeled just thriller, sometimes it's just, you know, wartime drama, whatever, but it does have some horror-ish elements in there, so.
Yeah.
We'll roll with it. But, essentially, so.
The plot's not very thick.
Right, yeah, there's not a lot, there's not a lot to it. It's basically, this movie takes the Soviet perspective. So yeah, the Keep was Germans, Overlord's Americans, this is Soviets. Like, the Americans are also not in this movie at all.
Correct.
So we're at the Soviets. So we're basically, it's 1945, it's Berlin. It's when the Red Army takes Berlin. Well, I guess we'll spoil it. You don't technically find this out until halfway through the movie, but it's Hitler's body.
Yes.
So Hitler did kill himself, but for whatever reason, Stalin wants to see his dead body for himself before he'll believe it. So and he
essentially
has,
like, put on like display, like,
right,
this is my war trophy.
Right. Yeah. So again, like they say in the movie, like, Russians have to look their, you know, enemies in the eye. Okay, whatever. It doesn't.
And it's like 3 days after he killed himself too. So.
Right.
Fresh Hitler corpse.
Right. So yeah, essentially they put the body in a box and it's like the super secret mission to get this body to Moscow in front of Stalin. The rest of the Red Army can't know, you know, because they don't want to spoil it. They don't want, you know, people taking pictures and taking the glory for themselves, you know, all that kind of shit. So it's like this super secret mission. They give it to like this super loyal colonel and the super loyal intelligence officer. Well, I guess it does kind of open up with a modern day, well, modern-ish day.
1991, yeah.
Well, yeah, basically there's a woman watching the fall of the USSR on TV, and somebody breaks into her house looking for something. She knocks him out, and then he's basically looking for something that, you know, he knows that she's Soviet, and he knows that she knows some secret from the war.
And she essentially then, like, makes him high as fuck.
Yeah, she blows like this dust in his face and then tells him this story, and that's supposed to be what like visualizes this story is that. So anyways, yeah, so she gets assigned, she's the intelligence officer, she gets, you know, in World War II, she gets assigned this mission. The colonel guy is the guy that's in charge, and it's like a squad of like, I don't know, five or six other dudes. That are just there for protection. They're just going to, you know, drive the truck to into Russia. And once they get in Russia, they're going to jump on a train and then go to Moscow. But they don't want to take a train before then because they don't want to risk being found out.
Right. And they have this box that they have to guard and like bury it at night.
Right. Yeah. So like, again, in case they're found and killed, no one finds this box. Like this, that secret, no one can know about it.
And they don't know what's in there at this point in time.
We don't. The colonel guy and the intelligence girl does, and that's it. Nobody else knows what's in there.
Right. And we don't either.
Right. Like I said, we don't find out until halfway through, but I spoiled it. Sorry. So essentially they get through the rest of Germany fine, and they get into Poland, and they're halfway through Poland. It doesn't matter. And they're driving through Poland, and you know, sniper shot rings out. Colonel guy who was in charge of the whole mission gets shot right in the head.
He's dead.
So the next guy in charge is unfortunately this like drunk idiot guy who, you know, they basically like he didn't want to drive through the night to get to this train station, you know, at night so they could get the hell out of there. He wants to camp for the night.
Yep.
And essentially he wants to camp for the night because he's out of booze. And he wants to go into town to get booze because he's, you know, like an alcoholic, right? So he forces them to camp. They bury the box. And the intelligence officer and, like, the kind of good soldiers stay back to guard the box. And then, like, this drunk guy and all kind of fuck-ups decide to go into the town, the nearby town, to get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to the town to get drunk. The intelligence officer, you know, waits, like, I don't know, 30 minutes before she goes, this is bullshit. And then because she's technically outranked by the drunk guy.
Right.
So she's like, this is stupid. I'm going in. So she goes in there. Of course, what's happening? It's wartime. It's sexual assault. It's
yep.
all three of these fucking movies is fucking wartime sexual assault. But yes, wartime sexual assault is happening. She stops it. You know, she basically, I don't know, she doesn't like, you know, outright say that she's like, you know, taking over his command, but she does at this point. She takes his gun away and she's like, yeah, you're done. Like, you've caused all of these problems and shit. Like, you're done. So they meet up with this other Polish guy who was hiding, who brought out a gun to also stop the sexual assault. So they meet up with a Polish guy, you know, with a gun. Anyway, they hear some noise. They go into the tavern. The two of the other guys that were left in the tavern are dead. One guy just got knocked out. So they're like, oh shit. Well, you know, they're werewolves, you know, the werewolves in Nazi terms are, you know, cause like fascists can never let go. Right. And Hitler, even though he knew he was going to fucking die, was like still trying to like incite violence with his people. So he's like, yeah, like even if they take over the country and take over the land, like you hide and stay behind. And then when they least expect it, jump out and kill them. Like, you know, but it was like the only people that were left were old men and kids. Right. It was like Hitler youth and old men that were like basically doing this. But unfortunately, but it's like, in this Polish town, there's actually like a squad of like fit normal people
that are fucking guerrilla warfare.
Right. Yeah. Which are like, like actually doing the work of the werewolves that the Nazis expected them to do, which is not what happened in real life.
No.
But that's essentially what's going on here.
And well, they also get attacked with the hallucinogenic.
Right. Yeah. And they use this, they say lichen and mushrooms. They don't say what it is, but they burn this mixture of lichen and mushrooms that essentially is like a psychoactive drug that makes you hallucinate. And they purposely wear like wolf skins and boar skins over their head and back so that when people under this drug see them, they see them as like monsters.
Yeah.
So they do that to people anyway. So back at the camp, the three guys that were left, there's one guy, Tor, who was called Tor because he killed a bunch of people with a hammer. So they call them the Norse god Tor. And then there's like the kind of clumsy kid, and then like the other, I don't know, whatever, the kid and the dude die. In this fight. But anyway, they throw the smoke at him, they start hallucinating, they're thinking they see like werewolves and monsters, and they start seeing like shit from their past. Like Tor starts seeing, like, because he actually came across a camp where, you know, like concentration camp. So he's seeing like the emaciated guy that he had seen through the fence that scared him. So he's seeing that guy in the forest, and he's like running around. He sees like this creepy guy in a gas mask, and he thinks he's a ghost too, but he's not.
Nope.
And he just takes his gun right out of his hands, and he's like, oh shit. So
he like pokes him in the chest. Right.
Yeah, so he runs away, but the guy gets his gun, and then the other two guys die. They do get there in time to save the box. Like, they didn't get to the box yet. They kill like one of the werewolves, and essentially they kind of regroup at that point. And they're like, shit, you know, we got to get this out of here, because obviously if they've seen us here and they've been watching us, they know the box, right? They know about the box. So like, we got to get this to a safe place. So the Polish guy's like, I know a place, let's go. And at this point, we're introduced to the werewolves. And we find out that, you know, there's what, 10 of them, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And the leader is like this, like, super Nazi, right? That's like, somehow knows this is Hitler's body. I don't know how he knows that, but he knows.
Yes.
And he wants to get his hands on it so that he can disprove it. He knows it is Hitler's body, but he wants to, like, make a spectacle out of, like, saying this is a fake.
Right, so that, because Hitler's still alive.
Right, so that all the other werewolves will fight harder, thinking that Hitler's just in hiding somewhere. He's not actually dead. That's like this guy's end game.
Well, because that's what they said, that Hitler would go into hiding, and that there'd be body doubles and all this shit. Right.
Right.
And they're just saying this is a body double that was killed.
Right. Yeah. So that's his whole point in getting this body, is that he's gonna reinvigorate the werewolves and somehow take back Germany, which. Okay, sure. I'm sure that'll happen. There's multiple armies all converging in Berlin. I don't think. Yeah. Good luck. they bring it to this like farmhouse. They convince the farmhouse couple to like hide this body for them. This is where we get the actual reveal, so we see what's in the box.
Yep.
Because they refuse to help until they know what's there. And then, you know, obviously they're, you know, the intelligence officer
bombed, they bombed Hitler.
Right. Yeah. So the intelligence officer is Jewish, and the couple that they ask for help from are also Jewish. So that's how they get like a kind of like, a, why are you doing this? Why are you trying to preserve this guy? Like, you know, what he did to our people. Right. And she's like, no, this is, we need to show Stalin so that he can like, whatever. Whatever. She's all on board.
Make a marionette puppet out of it.
Right. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck Stalin wants to do, but this is the mission. So anyway, so they hide the body in like a shed. And then basically the werewolves find Tor and they go to the farmhouse because they know where they are. they go to the farmhouse and they say, hey, you give us the body, we'll give you Tor. Essentially a big long firefight breaks out to where like mostly everybody dies. there's only a few people left. I think on the you know, quote unquote good side or the Soviet side, it's like the intelligence officer girl, the Polish dude, and the kind of screw up kid is like the only ones that are left. And Tor, of course,
who it takes a lot of damage.
Yeah, Tor gets stabbed like multiple times, gets shot a bunch of times. Yeah, he's, and that's only up to this point.
Yeah,
like he's not doing great, but he's still like probably the best soldier they got. Anyway, and then there's still, I don't know, 5-6 werewolves left.
Yeah.
So Tor overhears them talking, you know, while he was like their prisoner, and saying that they would go, you know, whatever he said it in German. And the other guy translated saying, oh, that's the church. They're going to the church. So she was kind of depressed because they got away and she doesn't know where they're going and they have the body.
Right. Because one guy went towards the shed. She shot him like, well, if he didn't know he was there, the body's there. They know now.
Well, yeah, the drunken officer went and told them like that he was trying to trade his life for the body.
So he can get away. He got a grenade to the face.
Yeah, instead he got tore through a grenade and it killed him. So anyway, so they go to the church and they kind of barricade it in. And then they use their own tactics against them. They throw in the lichen and mushrooms into the church to, you know, and then they come in with the, you know, the wolves and the boar and any of that. Anyway, the big firefight takes over. Literally everyone dies except for the intelligence officer lady and the Polish guy.
Yep.
Everybody else dies. The body, the guy was like doing an autopsy film of the body, like intentionally saying, oh yeah, this guy's way too old. Oh, this is definitely a body double that he was going to like send out to like reinvigorate, whatever. So Tor ripped out the film and burned it. yeah, so that didn't happen. The body burns, the whole church burns down. All the werewolves are dead. Everybody else is dead except for the intelligence officer lady and the Polish guy. The Polish guy stays in the town. The intelligence officer lady goes back to Russia. And then we switch back to the modern day and we see the neo-Nazi dude who was, you know, hoping to find out what really happened to Hitler now understands that, you know, he was fucking dead. He didn't escape or anything. Like, no, he's just dead. Yeah. And that she is now going to kill him. She like puts the rest of the poison into a water and then forces him to drink it.
And shows him what's in the box.
Yeah, and then shows him this hat box. He says, yeah, he sent me this a while ago. I don't know what for, I guess, to show people like you. We don't actually see what's in the box. I mean, yes. I can guess what's in the box.
Well, because she, okay, so when she went back to the burned barn, there's two skulls, one with Hitler with the piece of his skull shot out where he killed himself, and the skull of Tor.
Well, we don't know that was the Hitler's head, though.
Well, I'm just saying that's what there. And she said, essentially, you know, it'd be really weird if Stalin got misinformation and was made to look weak. And then she went to like jail for like 6 years.
Well, yeah, because she knew the truth. And since she didn't bring the body back, yeah, she got put in a gulag because, yeah, Soviets are all about controlling information.
Right.
Well, I mean, any communist country is all about controlling information. So yeah, so she got put in a gulag for a while and we don't know what happened with that, but we know that she eventually got out and went to London.
And she found out that this guy that she knew that almost seemed like her lover was killed in a home invasion.
Right.
And she's like, oh, and the neo-Nazi had like the skull necklace that the one guy had, and like Tom Felton's character took, like, and this was his, and that's why she kills him, shows what's in the box. And I'm assuming it's Hitler's head.
I mean, yeah, that's what we're all assuming, but we don't actually see it. It's like, right. It's like the briefcase in Pulp Fiction. We don't actually see what's in it.
Right.
We can guess. Right. There's, you know, there's only some things it could be, but we can guess.
Maybe that's what's in the briefcase.
Right. We don't know.
Pulp Fiction.
So then he dies of an overdose. She calls the police, and then.
And we zoom in the box, screaming, "What's in the box?" What's in the box? All right. Now you have seen this before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how did you find this? Was it just because it was World War II and maybe horror?
No, it was, just flipping, like one night I was flipping through stuff and I like World War II stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. So like I saw the picture of this film is her, the intelligence officer with a rifle in her hand, looking like in a box, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I knew that her uniform was a Soviet uniform from World War II, and I'm like, oh, what's this about? So I clicked at it. It was because of, you know, I knew that it was a World War II era film that I clicked on it, and then it looked interesting. I saw that it said horror and thriller. I'm like, oh, this is intriguing. So yeah, I watched. It was a few months ago. It was this year when I found it. I think it's on Hulu, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I watched this. I didn't know what to expect because I never had heard of this. So, you know, it's kind of rare that we don't know something about the movie, because obviously we're making these categories, we make these themes that we do movies like it. Yeah. Like, okay, so, you know, the general idea is it'd be World War II horror, right? And it's hard to not spoil things for ourselves when we're doing these for research. But I was pleasantly surprised by this. I wasn't expecting it to be what it ended up being at all. I didn't know what to expect from it. So I liked it. Do you want me to start with my highlights?
Sure.
Hitler in a box. I mean, even to the point where like one guy started beasting the shit, I'm like, he's dead.
Yeah, it's like he can die again. Like, yeah, that's true. that's a true statement.
And the idea of Stalin wanting Hitler's corpse just to like prove that he was superior, and like the idea behind it, like you can kind of see that happening, you know. Obviously, you know, the idea that no one wanted to believe at that point in time that Hitler killed himself. I know there's this big conspiracy and cover up that people thought it was a body double, blah blah blah, right? That, you know, he escaped to Argentina and lived there until the fucking 90s.
Well, I think because the weird thing was is that he ordered people, after he shot himself, he ordered people to burn his body.
Mm-hmm.
So that they wouldn't be able to find his body.
Yeah.
And when they found the bunker, the burnt body was still there. They didn't have time to get rid of it yet.
Yeah.
Because it had like just happened. So they had that body for a long time. And that those rumors pretty much got put to rest when I guess they finally like tested. I don't know if they tested DNA or whatever the fuck they did.
They said dental records, I believe.
Well, that's what they said in this movie.
I thought it was also, or the, you're right, there was DNA just to figure it out. And right. That, you know, it could be anyone else, but maybe, who knows?
Yeah. Well, it was like, yeah, it was about the same time that they proved that Hitler was dead is about the same time that they proved that Anastasia died.
Yeah.
It was just that, you know, instead of having one pit of dead bodies in Russia, there was two pits of dead bodies. That's essentially what it boiled down to, is everybody was saying like, oh, this pit didn't have Anastasia in it. Like, you're right, but it was another pit did.
Right.
Like they found, oh, they're all dead. Yes, they were all killed.
Right. And you can see, and you can really see that, you know, higher up Nazis would want to admit that he said the war was, you know, wars don't immediately end when Hitler died.
just about. Hitler was the only thing holding that on. Everybody else was like, they probably wanted to give up as soon as they got to the German border, because they don't want Germany itself getting destroyed. It was already screwed from bombing and shit.
Yeah.
Like, if they were intelligent at all, they would, like, do terms before invading armies went over the German border, is what they should have did.
Yeah, I mean, you can see, though, some people saying, you know, some small groups out there existing, not believe it or not getting the news right away. You can see that.
Yeah, but it's not like Japan.
Yeah.
it was not like Japan at all. It was like, yeah, was the werewolves an actual thing? Yeah, but it was pretty isolated, and they didn't really do much. Because they didn't have guns, they didn't have ammo, they didn't have armor or anything. Like, they didn't have any, like, it was just like they were hiding in the woods with, like, knives and shit.
Mm.
Like, they did some damage, but not a lot.
Yeah.
By that time, people were so sick of fucking Germans that they just, like, killed them on sight. So.
Right. And I liked the intelligence officer. Her character, while she was younger, and the old lady who was tough as fuck.
Yeah.
So I appreciate her in that movie. That's what I have for my highlights. What about you?
Yeah, I did. I like the wraparound thing, like the interest in like showing like the fall of the USSR and then like, you know, kind of giving like a flashback to the story from that point. And it was interesting that it's a neo-Nazi, you know, in 92, which is, I don't know. It's so bizarre to me that they still exist, but, yeah, it was just a fun little like wraparound. It's interesting seeing the Soviet point of view. I mean, that's not something that's commonly done in movies.
I can't recall ever seeing a World War II movie from the Soviet point of view.
Enemy at the Gates.
Yeah.
Did you see that movie with Ed Harris and Jude Law?
Probably once.
But it was, you know, it was the movie about the dueling snipers. Anyway, yeah. That was told from the Soviet point of view because it was in Stalingrad. That's the only other one I could think of. That was it. Like, other than that, I'm sure there's a lot like in languages that I don't speak. You know what I mean? Because that's, but in our realm, right? English speaking movies, very rare.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I thought that was very interesting. Werewolves. Also, the werewolves are something, again, like I said, they weren't very effective. They didn't really do much. So there's not a lot of movies about them, right? Because there's nothing they really did. This is a fictional movie showing that, oh, they could be effective. Yeah, maybe they could have been if they were, like, for real, but
right.
They weren't. I like the hatbox mystery. Again, we know what's in there, more or less, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, if it was just a head with a hole in it, why would the dude be, like, looking at it like his life is changing? You know what I mean? He was looking at it like he was terrified.
Well, he was also given the hallucinogen too.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, like, okay, it's a skull with a hole in it. Like, it could be anybody's skull with a hole in it. Like,
I mean, maybe he just envisioned Hitler's face.
Yeah,
on it.
It's true. I don't know, but I still like. I like when there's little mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
We basically know, but it's little mysteries. And I did like how they show like the war reality for civilians, right? Like the people that were there were like, yeah, it doesn't matter if you're German or Russian. Like, you both do horrible shit to us when you're here. You know, yeah. We just want you, when all of you are gone, then we can go back to normal. And the one lady that they kind of proved that with, she was the lady that got sexually assaulted by the drunk Soviet officer. And then the other Soviet guy, like, you know, tried to like help her back to the town. And then she ended up getting shot in crossfire.
Yep.
You know, it really just shows you that, you know, that's why all the civilians just hid in their houses and never came out, you know, because, you know, we only see two of them, you know, everybody else just hid. And that's because, yeah, they don't want to be involved. Like, what happens when you get involved? Just death all around. Just let these idiots fight it out. Come back when they're all gone. And it was, yeah, that it's at least they put a little bit of it in there. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lowe's, not only do we have Nazis, but we also have neo-Nazis in this movie. So, Nazis bad. Sexual assault again. And then again, like just Stalin and Hitler playing fucking games. Like, why are you going to play stupid fucking games? Who cares? Hitler's fucking dead. It doesn't matter who fucking did it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he did it to himself. It doesn't matter who has his fucking body. Just say he's dead. End it. I don't know why you need to see the body or have it in your house. Stalin's a weird dude.
He is. Like I said, I just imagine a marionette puppet.
I don't know. Stalin is a fucking weird dude. Did a lot of bad shit, but whatever. He pretty much almost won World War II single-handedly, so.
Yep.
Yeah, that's all I got.
What do you got? Yeah, this is teetering on horror for me. I'd definitely say it's more of a, you know, war drama for sure. I said, not knowing what to expect from this movie, I was disappointed there weren't any werewolves in it at all. Like
when I first looked at the description, I was like, oh, werewolves! Like, yeah. I literally thought there were real werewolves. I did not, because it was labeled as horror. So I'm like, oh wow, real werewolves, that's cool. But
it's not. Right. Well, if the werewolves were werewolves.
Right. Yeah, no, it was just the Nazi werewolves, not the cool werewolves.
Yeah, so I was disappointed by that. Obviously, Nazis, sexual assault. And I would say the last fight in the church was a lot of CGI blood.
They probably ran a lot of budget at that point. It was like, we need to end this shit.
Yeah, like when the poor skinny kid got like shot and she's throwing her out the window, it was just like bad CGI. Like he died from bad CGI. That's how he died. But yeah, I mean it's I don't know, it's teetering on horror for me. It's the horror of war for sure. And like I said, it was, you know, when they actually show, like, when someone thought he saw a real werewolf, I'm like, holy shit, it's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I mean, there's horror elements of it, for sure. Yeah. Right? I mean, like, a lot of it takes place, like, at night. You know, there's, again, we get, you know, people using drugs to make you think they're monsters and stuff. We actually see some monsters. We see some, like, ghosts. I mean, they're not real ghosts. They're just, like, you know, mushroom ghosts, you know, but they're technically there.
Yeah. I will say another point that I forgot to write down. It was dark as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, some of it was really hard to see. Like,
it's 1945, man.
I know.
It's like, there's many streetlights.
I'm like, he got, you know, someone gets stabbed or shot in the dark. I'm like, is he bleeding out? I can't tell. I'm like, it's not Game of Thrones season 8 bad, but it was still pretty bad. That's all I got. So, how many bolt action rifles out of 10 do you give this movie?
I like this movie a lot. I've watched it twice within the last couple of months, and I'm not upset that I did. I mean, it was still good watching it the second time. So, I give it a
7.75. Okay. I mean, if there were ghosts and werewolves, that'd be a much higher number for me, for sure. But as a movie, it was pretty interesting. Like, it for me, it's kind of be like a one and done. Like, I don't think I'm probably ever going to watch this again for me personally. So, I will give this, I'm thinking if that, like, this is more or less than The Keep or in different ways. I do like it in different ways. So, yeah, I will go to 7 bolt action rifles out of 10 for myself. But yeah, I mean, this is an interesting thing. There's definitely other World War or soldier horror movies that exist. But do you have anything else to add before I close this out?
Nope.
All right. Now we have seen some stories of what can go wrong during World War II. Join us next week as we see what happens when the evil has some time to simmer. That's right. We are watching some movies that take place in the present, or present at their time of making, but have the roots firmly in the same graves. We will be watching The Outpost, Dead Snow, and Apt Pupil. I have seen one of these.
Well, I know you've seen Dead Snow, so you're saying you haven't seen Apt Pupil before?
Okay, so I've seen two of them, yeah. Okay.
I was gonna say, that's like a Stephen King story.
Oh, of course, yeah. Is there a first Stephen King? No.
I don't think it's our first.
No, it? we did some other ones.
Yeah.
But anyway, remember, we watch bad movies, so you don't have to. And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked on the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.
Good night.